If you would turn to the New Testament book of James, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verses 5 to 18. And as you're doing that, I'm just going to ask God's blessing upon the word this morning. Father, as we just take a moment to hear and come to your word, we're asking, Lord Jesus, that you would accomplish much in our lives. As we open up your word, may your truth just speak to us as we continue in this series, Life's Pitfalls and Discoveries. Lord God, may we identify a pitfall and receive the discovery that you have for us in you working in our behalf. We give you honor and we give you praise this morning. Be blessed and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we continue, like I said, to look at the series Life's Pitfalls and Discoveries. And we began it last week by looking at unforgiveness and the discovery side of seeing what forgiveness actually brings to our life, the freedom that is in forgiving, and understanding that sometimes God will use us forgiving to help us move on, because we just continue to struggle. And this week I want to look at the wisdom that we can learn from going through some trials and temptations, and we can see that God sets up these guidelines and bumper guards, so to speak, in our lives, so that when we get off track, he can bring us back. And I think the book of James gives us a lot of good, important meat on the subject. And I kind of think that I'm going to break it down into two sessions. One this morning, looking at the wisdom that we can see from God's word that's available to us, that can keep us sometimes from falling off track, can keep us from going through some of the hardships unnecessarily. And then the second side of that, maybe next week, looking at keeping our minds centered on Christ and keeping our minds focused on God and not allowing us to stumble unnecessarily in lifestyle, unnecessarily in diversions, and kind of setting us up to fail when we fall into these things. So James chapter 1, you should be there now. James chapter 1, starting at verse 5 and reading over to verse 18. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. And God bless his word. Saw an illustration this week, and it kind of fits with presidents and different things. George W. Bush is in an airport. He notices a man in a flowing white robe, flowing white hair, flowing beard. The man had a staff in one hand and the stone tablets under his other arm. George W. approaches the man and he says, "Aren't you Moses?" The man ignored George W. and stared at the ceiling. George W. positioned himself again and was trying to get more direct in the man's view and again goes up to him and says, "Aren't you Moses?" The man continued to look at the ceiling. George W. gets frustrated and he tugs on the man's sleeve and once again, "Aren't you Moses?" The man finally replied, "The last time that I spoke to the bush, I spent 40 years in the desert." I don't know where you're at this morning, but I'm telling you that the only way that we're going to have a better life and a life that is fulfilling is to do what the Lord says. All the times that we spend thinking that we have it all together, we have all the answers, we can beat the odds and everything else, only causes us to go through some of these pitfalls that we watch people go through. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Now, the thief here, Satan, has come to destroy everything that's good, has come to destroy anything in our lives that are worthwhile, comes to destroy our attitudes, come to destroy our spirit of wanting to walk with God. And God tells us that all of these distractions are a lie straight out of hell and caused to be our destruction. Now, I've said it before, I don't see a devil behind every door. I'm not one of those people that stand up here and that every time something bad happens to you, I'm saying that it's the devil doing it. And every time, you have something happen to you that, you know, it's because there's an evil force coming at you. That's not what I'm saying to you this morning. But I am saying that I see people's lives destroyed by the things that are going on. I see people's lives destroyed by distractions. I see people's lives destroyed by them thinking that they know better than God on issues going on in their lives. I see lives destroyed and their lives are a mess and they won't even admit that their lives are a mess. I mean, it's obvious to everyone around them, and they will not admit that they themselves have a mess for a life, that they need God to intervene. I will be honest that this has been a hard month for me. I watched my friend in High Spire die last week. I received word that at the end of this week that someone that I went to school with has passed away. You know what that makes you do? That makes you realize that you need things right with the Lord, because you just never know. When I was 20 and 30 years old, I never thought 59 was old. But now you know what? 59 is not so old as I thought it was. But it made me realize that 59, I can't even say that right, 59, soon to be 60, there's no guarantees. You don't know. And it made me realize, because one day my friend was here and we were corresponding by email and talking on the phone, and the next he was gone. And God gives you these guidelines and he gives you these bumper guards to help us and guide us through life. And the bottom line is this: we have an option. One is trusting God that he is going to bring us where we need to be, trusting God to help us when we don't have the strength that we have, trusting God to know more than we know, or there's only one other option. That other option is we do things our way, and then we find out that don't work out so good. And then sometimes we just get, like we see in society, their life is a mess, but they won't even bring it to and admit it in the things that go on. The Lord here, through James, says, "If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it's going to be given to him." Now, see, I think God has a sense of humor. I really do. I think God has a sense of humor, because I look at this verse, and it says you who lack wisdom should ask God. And is there any one of us that shouldn't just take that as, hey, dummy, if you don't want to you don't want to go through the hardships, I'm making myself available. Really, if I would paraphrase that verse, I would say it like that. But God in his mercy and his goodness says, if any of you lack wisdom, I'm here to offer you some help. Would any of us really not want to stand in that line? Would any of us really not just admit that God knows more than we do, and we should stand in a different line if we're not in that line already? And see, I think intelligence is not the same as wisdom. Now hear me when I say that, because I say this. I know a lot of smart people that don't have any common sense. I know a lot of smart people that book smart, they are near being up to and including being a genius. But when you look at their life, spiritually, they can't make good choices. Decisions that cause them to regret things in your life, you can see they haven't mastered. I heard one illustration. I've used it before, but it's been a while, but it certainly fits here. Muhammad Ali was on an airplane. And as he was getting ready and others were getting ready, the flight attendant was walking back and forth, up and down the aisle. You know how they do that. And they're making sure that seatbelts are fastened before they take off. And as the flight attendant's going down the aisle, she notices that Muhammad Ali doesn't have his seatbelt on. And she says, Mr. Ali, would you please put your seatbelt on? And Ali looks at him and at her and says, Superman don't need seatbelt. And she thinks, well, he's going to get it put on in a few minutes. So she continues down and comes back. And a few minutes later, she sees that he's not. And she again says, Mr. Ali, would you put your seatbelt on? Superman don't need seatbelt. And out of frustration, the flight attendant looks at him and says, Superman don't need an airport or airplane. Get your seatbelt on or you're going to be asked to leave this plane. And that is the crux of how we look at things, because we think we are special. We think that we're invincible. We think that it happens to other people, but it will never happen to us. We think in our limited wisdom that we have all the right answers, that we know best. And I'll just ask this question after saying all of that. Have you ever done anything dumb? And all of us would have to say, of course we have. Every one of us, some of us have done it repeatedly. He tells us here in verse 6, basically again paraphrasing, if we're smart enough to realize that we need God's wisdom, God makes himself available. God says, I will give you wisdom. If you will believe and trust me, I will give you wisdom. He knows what we believe, and he tells us that we have to come with an attitude of faith. We have to come and not be double-minded. How many people do we know that every week they're deciding if they're going to follow Christ? Every week they're deciding what they believe. Every week they can be washed away by something someone says or something someone does. Can you imagine allowing your faith to fall because of somebody else, but it happens every day? God says, stay focused. If you lack wisdom and you don't have answers, and you don't understand what's going on, if you will trust me, if you will ask me, if you will be diligently seeking my wisdom from my word, I'm going to give you answers. I'm going to help you. If you're going to realize that my truth is what you need, you're going to live a whole lot better. Verse 12 tells us, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Now, I want you to see something. And if you get nothing else out of this, I want you to understand there is a difference between a trial and a temptation. Say amen to that. There's a difference. That's why it's broke down here. In verse 12, he says, "If blessed is the one that perseveres under the trial, stood the test, will receive the crown of life that's promised." A trial is those things that happen in our life. Most of the time, they can be unavoidable. Most of the time, they're not our fault. Most of the time, they are unpredictable, unexpected, and he's telling us that he will help us through those times. And on the other side of those trials, we can expect to be stronger than when the trial began. See, there's a difference between learning something the hard way. Sometimes you just want to look up to somebody and just, you know what? Why do you have to learn everything the hard way? Why must there, if there's an easy way and your way? God's telling us that there's a difference between that. That's sometimes I think that's just being thick-headed. I think, you know, for a lack of just stupidity sometimes, because we know better. We try the same things, and we wonder why the same results happen, and then we blame God. And, the trial could be because of someone else's actions, can be because of a job change, can be because, you know, your job is downsizing or any other things that can put you in a hardship that was not your fault. And he tells if we'll stay the course, that he'll make us stronger, smarter, and able to handle the next hurdle that comes our way. God allows trials. The Word of God tells us here that God will allow these trials to happen in our lives so that we can make him through some of these things. That there is unavoidable things. So it takes away all of the thought that people say, well, I don't know about being this Christian because bad things still happen to me. Well, yeah. They will. God doesn't promise that bad things won't happen to us. He tells us that he'll help us through these things. Do you know why a golf ball isn't smooth? I just learned this week, and I thought this was pretty cool. Now, some of you have golfed with me, so you know that I do it for fun. I won't be on the PGA Tour anytime soon, but you know why a golf ball is not smooth? Because they found out that it flies farther with those dimples in. It flies farther after it's been beat up a while. So in their wisdom, they said, hey, if we can make this ball go farther, why not put the dents in it right away and allow it to go farther? And I thought this week, maybe that's why God allows us to go through some of that stuff. Why we sometimes got to get beat around and dented up a little bit so that we'll fly a little farther. And we'll be able to handle some of the things that are going on in our lives. Running away from a trial may be the easier way, but it doesn't usually work. And you're only running away, but some point you're going to have to come back to it. Now, while I think God sometimes... And I've used this in back when I was a youth pastor, I used to use the term run, Forrest, run. And what I meant by that, and anybody that was in that youth group during that time, is that there comes a point in your life that God will tell us, run. Stay as far away from this as you can. And if you're smart, you'd listen to God and run, Forrest, run. Get away. Get some distance between you and whatever that thing is that's causing you to stumble. Most of the time, we will need to face our problem head on. We can't run from it. If it's a trial that God has allowed us to go through for a reason of being stronger, then we can't run from it. We have to run through it. We have to go through these things, and we have to face it, and we have to trust God to help us through these things. And I realized Nike may say, just do it, But I realize that it's not that easy, that you can't just do it. Most things we can't do without the Lord's help. If we could, we probably would. And I thought through some of the scripture that David cried out to God, and we talked about that not too long ago, and some of the things that David did, and you know that he wasn't the perfect guy, but God loved him, and God saw through some of his faults, and actually God says that he's a man after his own heart, and David, after he's repented, comes back and says, "Where I've fallen, God created me a clean heart." And Job, when he fell down and he worshiped God, and all of his friends gave him bad advice. Curse God and die. You don't have to put up with that. Job stood the ground, and he said that he wasn't going to do it. In fact, he said at one point, he says, "Naked I came into this world, naked I'm going to go out. There's nothing that I can do in myself." So he wouldn't take the bad advice from those around him. And Paul humbled himself. And I can't think of anybody besides Jesus that went through tougher things than when we see what Paul went through. And Paul realized that he would never accomplish all that God wanted him to do unless he humbled himself and asked God for his strength and his wisdom and his knowledge. And no one was beaten up more than him. This is what the Lord says about trials. He says that they're unavoidable at times, and where you can avoid them, he says, be smart and avoid them. Take my wisdom. Where you can see something heading in the wrong path, listen to what I'm telling you and avoid it. And he's telling us that trials will happen. Say amen to that. Trials will happen. To sit on this cloud and think that you come to Christ and you'll never have any troubles, you'll never have any worries, you'll never have any expense problems, you'll never have any relationship problems, you know. What planet are you on? Because unless you are a Christian for an hour, you're going to soon see that there is trials that you're going to go through. And I think sometimes as a believer, you actually go through more trials. Because not only do you go through the ones that you could avoid or you need to work through, there are some trials that people put on you that you have to go through. So I believe it's just the opposite. So that's a trial. That's the performance side, kind of like an athlete. You got to be prepared for it. You got to do whatever you can to make sure you're ready and able to go through. And that God allows tests. We don't make any excuses for God. God says that you're going to go through some trials. And it's going to make you stronger or break you, and your choice is yours. And I think a lot of times we go through those same trials more than we have to because we didn't learn the lesson that God wants us to learn. Or we didn't make the changes that need to be made. And on the temptation side, we look at verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. So you can run around and say, "The devil made me do it," but that's probably not true. And you can't say that God tempted you. Because the Word of God tells us that God's not tempting us. He's not going to use evil to prove a point with us. But we will see trials, and we will see other people do things to us. James also tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee. Come near to God, and he will come near to us. God allows trials in our lives to make us stronger and ready to do kingdom work. Temptations do not come from God. Temptations most of the time come from self, but we want to blame God. We have these evil desires. We have these thoughts that are causing us to walk away from God, causing us to stumble. And then we have Satan, the tempter, that is going to throw these things in on us. And if we're not careful, they drag us to where we don't want to be. I want you to think about a minute. One of the things that cause us to stumble is to look at someone else. That's I believe even for a Christian, I believe that is one of the most things that could cause us to stumble. Because here's the thing. We either look at someone and we say, we can't ever be that person. We could never be as good as that person. We could never do as much as that person. And it discourages us and causes us to not even try. Or we'll go find somebody that we're not as bad at. Well, I'm not as bad as that person. And then we have this puffed up attitude and confident that we're not as bad as that person. Well, here's the thing. We don't measure up to other people. I don't have to be as good as so-and-so. I have to be as good as God tells me to be and line up with God's word. I'm not so-and-so. I'm not going to be judged by standards of so-and-so. I'm going to be judged by what I did and what the Lord told me to do and I did or didn't do. And the other side is this. When we measure up our attitude of being good compared to God, none of us measure up. So we can't go, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, we're not measuring up to so-and-so's standard. We're measuring up against God, which ought to tell us that we're not there. And we need to do something about it. One of the things that I believe believers struggle with is what they call the doctrine of original sin. And the bottom line is this: we were born sinners. No one is good enough. Say amen to that. No one is good enough. We were born with a sin nature because of the fall, and we can't save ourselves. We're not good enough. And because we're not good enough, we're doomed without Jesus. Say amen. You got to do better than that. You're probably thinking of somebody that you're better than. You're not better than anyone else. And we're all born sinners, and we all need Jesus, and we're all doomed without Jesus. Now, if you just recently had a baby, you probably won't like this next demonstration or this illustration. But you know what? Babies are born with demanding cries. And when they don't get their way, they just stiffen up. They just allow you to know that they're there. And I just want to ask for those that have grown-up kids, you still remember it. But how cute is it when those babies that have never been taught to be bad begin to do bad things or begin to do things that they know you don't like? I know your kids were never bad. I'm just talking about mine. How cute is it when they begin to act up? How cute is it when they don't do what you've asked them to do? They're so small, they can't even open their eyes when they're born. They're so small, they can't even, for the first few months, they can't even crawl or walk. They can't feed themselves. Yet they let you know who's in charge. I can't do these things, but I just want you to know I'm in charge. One preacher says they're vipers with diapers. I like that. That, to me, is funny. Vipers with diapers. Folks, listen to me. Until we realize how desperate we are without Jesus, we're really never going to understand some of the things that we go through and what God wants to bring us through. I think it's why we have, and evangelism is a whole nother sermon and series and everything else. But hear me for a second. I think the reason we don't go to the little old lady that's our neighbor is for that very fact. She's a little nice old lady. And we don't see that as a problem. But that little nice old lady still needs Jesus. that nice person still isn't good enough, that without Jesus won't make it. It's the same that when we stand up, and I've done these the funerals, and I've done all of these services where someone comes up and they say, so-and-so is in a better place. Really? Can you be in a better place without Jesus? We're in the better place without Jesus right now. Can we really think for a moment that a person that never professed God is going to spend eternity with the God they never professed or wanted to be with? Or can we just admit that we're not good enough? Admit that we need Jesus. Whether you're the little nice old lady that everybody knows in the neighborhood, or you're the scoundrel town drunk, it doesn't matter. You still need Jesus. And without Jesus, you're not going to make it. And here's the discovery. Whatever trial God is allowing you to go through, get on the other side of it. See what he wants you to see. Do what he wants you to do. And accomplish on the other end what he wants to see accomplished. And understand that you don't have to do it alone. See, nowhere in here does God say that we have to do a trial and a temptation by ourselves. He'll help us through the trials and the temptations in his strength and his ability and guidance of his word can be sometimes avoided. His wisdom will see us through. Say amen to that. Father, as we just take the last minute here just to just grab on to really the pitfall is blaming God for some of the trials that we're going through. When really some of the trials we're going through, God wants us to be stronger, be smarter, accomplish what he wants to accomplish, get out some things in our lives that he wants out. And if we will work through those trials instead of running from them, we would live easier and better lives. And Lord God, for the temptations that we go through, we need to stop blaming God because of our weaknesses and understand that God is our strength. God helps us through these things. And that we can't blame God for evil things happening to us. It's just part of life. It's just a part of the sin that takes place in this world. And God says it won't always be this way. And he's trying to help us through these times. And he wants us to get victory over some of the things that have tempted us, caused us to stumble, and the pitfalls that just keep eating us up. He wants us to rise up out of. I pray for each one here that we would hear his word and seek his wisdom and be up and allow God to do what he needs to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.